I count it a privilege to be here with you this morning. I ran into problems just about time to leave. My wife's car wouldn't crank, and then Kim's car wouldn't crank. And I said, "Devil, you're a lie.
Amen.
You don't come back here with that non-car cranking demon this morning, forget it." I mean, I was a little late, but thank God.
Amen.
You know, I like something that was said at the during that song. It says, "Every moment I'm awake,
yes,
Lord, have your way in me."
Yes.
We truly desire for the Lord to have his way in us every moment that we are awake.
Yes.
That's really something to think about, isn't it?
Yes.
Lord, have your way in my life every moment I'm awake. Not my will, but your will. You know, I often, so many times, the Lord always carried me back to when he had Jesus in the garden. And you know, I guess the human mankind part of Jesus, even though he knew what his appointment was,
yes,
when time came for that appointment, that human part of him didn't want to go through with it. And as he prayed, and he finally he said, "Not my will, Father,
yes,
but your will be done." Do we truly desire for the will of the Father to be done in our lives? It really stirs me sometimes when I see all the things that we carry on, that we get involved in, and we do as humans. But when you fine tune it, is it the will of God?
Yes.
Or is it our will? Today, if you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 7, but the focus of the message will be on verses 4 through 7. And I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version, so it might read a little different than what your King James or your NIV or whatever version that you might have. Verse 1 says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a dangling cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If you give away all that I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." It's powerful. "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoice with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things."
Amen.
That is a strong passage of scripture there. And when we look at our lives, how does our lives relate to that passage of scripture? And let's look at it for a short time.
Amen.
A great key to being free is to stop feeding on fantasy. Feeding on fantasy results in dissatisfaction with reality.
Yes.
But be careful for which is real. Of the five descriptions of God in the New Testament, the one that most describes his inherent nature is, God is love. And it's amazing that this morning the songs that was chosen to sing was about love and about changing our heart and dealing with our heart.
Yes.
This was so important that the Holy Spirit did not leave it to each person's imagination to figure out what it meant. In bold, simple terms, this love is expressed as a love that can be practiced daily.
Yes.
Do we practice as Christians the love of God daily? Remember, God's love is unconditional. In other words, you have unconditional love for your neighbors, for your friends. If we are honest, most of us, our love is conditional. We are great for giving our thoughts on things when we as believers should just give it to God and not take it back. You know, how many times do we say, well, you know, I'm telling you this because I love you.
Mm-hmm.
When God is really telling you to shut up
mm-hmm.
and let him take care of it. So many times, the things that we swear is the love of God is really our own agenda. And if you notice something, if you take something that stinks and if you begin to stir in it, what happens? The smell only gets worse.
Okay.
When are we as Christians going to allow God to deal with each person's heart
yes.
in his own time? You know, so many times we see conditions that's going on in the world and conditions in our families and things that happen in our families, and we will go ahead and give all opinions on them. But a lot of times, do all opinions bring the person closer to God, or do all opinions drive them further away and then put a wedge between your relationship with them instead of allowing God to do it by just saying, you know what? Lord, I'm earnestly pray from my heart because you have placed this situation in my heart concerning this loved one or concerning this situation. And you know what, Lord? I'm going to pray and I'm going to give it to you. And then when you tell God that you're going to give him something, don't lie to him. Majority of the time we tell God, Lord, I'm giving this to you. We know we're lying. Because 10 minutes later, we done took it back and we done gone to figuring how that we're going to make this situation better. And all we do is constantly make it worse. You know, the thing is, can we trust God through his audible word and through his written word that brothers and sisters, or we as sons and daughters, will hear from God
Amen.
And only say what he tells us to say, or only say what his word says? There are concepts of God's love. And notice something. The Holy Spirit did not leave it to each person to have an imagination about what God's love is, but it's spelled out for us. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient and kind, and love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. Wow! How many of us truly have a patient love? How many of us are truly patient about anything? How long can you wait on somebody? Men, how long can you wait on your wife to go in the store? And maybe it's one of those days where she just want to browse around and shop. But you know what? You on the telephone texting her or calling her saying, what are you waiting on? Why are you being so late? Come on, you know we got to go. Let's be honest. do we truly have a patient love? How many times is our love for our children? Is it patient? I done told you this same thing right over and over and over, even after they become adults. But is our love patient? Now think about something. If God was so patient with you, out of all those years that you were a sinner, that you wouldn't live right, that you wouldn't do right, and He didn't kill you, then why should we browbeat somebody else? It also says that not only is love patient, but you know what? It says love is kind.
Yes.
Now, you know what? We just want to be honest. Sometimes we can be some unkind Christians, especially when other church people are not looking at us. You let somebody drive on our grass, man, we will go off. I done spent all this money to the lawn service, man. You know what? I have a customer, and it's so funny. He's in such an uproar about this grass. Man, I have never invested so much time in the one yard, and the man don't care what it costs. He pays an outrageous price just because he want this grass a certain way. He wants it to look better than anybody else in the neighborhood. What does it matter? If all the water's gone, the grass can die anyway.
Yeah.
The thing is, what if he had that kind of compassion about love towards his fellow man? You know, it's so funny. One day we had a little bit of dirt in the driveway where Brother Curtis and I was cutting some grass out, and a little bit of grass dirt got in the driveway, and he come home. I said, "Hold on a minute, Mr. Stafford, I'll get the blower and blow it out." He said, "No, no, no." He went and got the broom. He said, "Because don't no dirt go in my garage. I do not put my car wheels in no dirt." The thing is, what do we get so carried away about? Why don't we do that? That kind of getting carried away about loving our fellow man. It also says love does not envy.
Yes.
Do we sometimes envy our fellow believers? Especially, you know, sometimes preachers, man, they got it going on over there. The Lord has got that house full. And man, it looks like we're trying, we're doing everything that we can, and nobody is coming. But if you ever thought about God has got the ones coming that He need to change their heart, that when He do send the people, that they will be prepared to show them love, to show them compassion, to show them affection. And you know what? It's love boastful. You know, that some of these guys, man, if you take these hot dog ball players, man, they just all puffed up, and it's all about them, and they this, and they that, and they the other. But you know what? True love is not boastful.
Yes, that's right.
It never is. Never. And you know what? The next thing, it's not arrogant. God don't have an arrogant part about Him.
Yes,
because if He had anything in His nature was arrogant, it wouldn't be nothing left Him here but Him and His Son.
Amen.
In the whole entire universe. Because of all the hurt that we have inflicted upon His heart. 13:5 says, love is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. You know, we can be some rude Christians. And we got it. We just want to be honest. We can be just as rude. And you know what? And the next thing, we insist on everything being our way or the highway. And we can be just as resentful. But you know what? This morning, the opportunity is there. Change my heart, Lord. May I be like You.
Amen.
Change my heart, Lord. 13:6 says, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. You know, do we ever rejoice sometimes when we feel like somebody has done something to us, and then when the popo turn around and get them, we say, see, that just goes to show what you just done to me. It came back home to you. But you know what? That's not the truth. Love never rejoices in seeing somebody else in afflictions or situations or in problems. Look, I done been in the jailhouse. I'll never rejoice in seeing nobody go to the jailhouse. Because trust me, the most horrible sound that you can ever hear is when that electronic door closed behind you. And you know the only way you're going to get out of there is you're going to have to get bailed out, or you're going to have to come up with a cash bond or something. Why would you rejoice in seeing somebody in a hurtful situation? But you know what? But why don't you rejoice in the truth?
Yes.
The truth is that God loves each and every one of us. No matter whatever we've done, as long as there is life, there is a possibility that you can be forgiven. And you know what? As long as there is life, why should you hold something inside of your heart and not just forgive your brother or your sister? You know, the most hurtful thing in the world that it is to see family torn apart.
Yes.
Because of things that they will not forgive.
Amen.
And not just family, but in the body of Christ also. When you got preachers that can't speak to another preacher. When you got Christians that can't, believers that won't speak to another believer because of the most minute things that don't amount to nothing. 13:7 said, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. You know what? The true love of God abides inside of you.
Yes.
There is nothing that anybody should say or do to you that would even bother you. Because that love should be able to bear all things. And you know what? Why should I believe something bad about you and I don't even know you? But you know what? We know how good Christians will do, man. I heard that Brother David and Brother Freddie, they down there preaching and trying to steal other people's church members and yada, yada, yada this and yada, yada that. And it'll spread all over the community like wildfire.
Yes.
When it's not the truth.
Amen.
But you know why? I don't twist nobody's arm about anything.
Yes.
Brother David, don't twist nobody's arm about anything.
Amen.
The only thing we believe in is giving you the truth.
Amen.
And you know what? My hope is that all mankind will give their life to the Lord.
Yes.
And that God will change their hearts. And we can come together as brothers and sisters in love and in unity as never before. And you know what? Enduring all things. If you're hurt, then I should be hurt. If Brother David's hurt, then Brother Glenn should be hurt.
Yes.
If one of us is hurt, then the whole body should be hurt. Because we should be able to endure their struggle, to endure their heartache, to endure their pain.
Amen.
But most believers say, it ain't man, it ain't my house. Oh well, let them deal with it. I want to ask the question today. As a believer, is the love of God truly working in your heart? These things that it was just spelled out. It says the Holy Spirit did not leave it to our imagination to understand or to fathom what the love of God was. but the Holy Spirit. Allow men of God to write this passage that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. How could I say that I love God whom I've never seen and can't look at my brother or can't look at my sister and love them just like I love my own self? I got several more passages of scripture and I'll be closing. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and to destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence: love others as you love yourself. That's an ike of true freedom. You know, if you can't love, you're not truly free.
That's right.
You're bound.
That's absolutely correct.
If you bite and rev each other, watch out.
Yes.
In one time at all, you will be alienating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? If you bite back, if you talk about your brother, if you run him down, if you alienate yourself from him, where will your precious freedom be? You can find that in Galatians 5:13-15 in the Message. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Notice what it says. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push yourself to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top.
That's right.
Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Wow, do we do that? Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand.
Amen.
Do we forget about ourselves long enough to lend a helping hand? You know, one of the struggles I find sometimes in the type work that I do is to give somebody a price for something, and then they tell me, okay, and then come time to pay, they ain't got the money. And you know, sometimes I just have to write it off.
Yeah.
You know what? Sometimes I just have to say, you know what? They need it more so than I did.
Yeah.
But you know what? The Lord spoke to my heart one day, and he said, Freddie, you know what? If you really want to stay away from these situations, then you know what? Every week, give something to somebody. So you know what? I started finding an old person that couldn't afford to get their grass cut, or somebody that was really struggling, and I went and done it. And when they tried to pay me, I said, no. Said the Lord told me to do this for you. And you know what? I haven't been still since.
Yeah.
Nobody stuck me up since.
Yeah.
You know what? And one of the biggest stick-ups is they say, well, you said it was such and such. I got to go down to the ATM and get some money. You can forget it. You won't see them no more.
Yeah.
They're not coming back.
That's right.
And the thing is, When you learn to give something away,
amen,
God will begin to move as never before. Because you know what? What good is love if you can't give it away?
Yes.
What good is it? What good is it having a big, huge heart of love and you never give it away?
Amen.
So chosen by God for this new life of love, dressed in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Notice what the wardrobe is that God picked out for you. Compassion.
Yes.
Kindness. Humility. Quiet strength. How many of us have quiet strength? You know, we want to flex our strength and show that we got all this strength. And why can't we just quietly pray and allow God to move?
Right.
And the next thing is discipline. Woo! That's a tough one, isn't it? Can we really discipline this? James said this was a terrible evil. You notice we can discipline just about everything on our body. We can stop our hand. We can stop our foot from moving if we don't want to go forward. We can stop our hand from going to our mouth if we don't want no food. But if you notice, why can't we bridle this? Be even tempered. Wow. That's tough, isn't it? Especially when something happens in a relationship that immediately causes your blood to boil. But the word says, be even tempered. Allow God to do it. Content. Be content with second place. You know most of us want to be first.
Yes.
We don't want to be second. Quick to forgive an offense. Wow. You know, is that a hard thing to do? If I was to offend Brother Darton, could Brother Darton be quick to forgive me? If I was to offend Brother David, if I was to offend Brother Curtis, or anybody, would it be easy for you just to say, you know what, Lord? I'm giving that one to you. Giving that one to you, Lord. I'm not going to bother you. Because see, you can never be offended unless you are an offensive person. You can't be. It says, forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. Can we forgive as quickly as the Master forgives us? Notice what Jesus said to his disciples about sin. How many times should you forgive? Jesus told them, 77 times 7 in the same day. They asked. If somebody does the same thing to you 77 times 7 in the same day and come back and ask you to forgive them, what would you do? I mean, let's be honest.
No.
Probably after about the third time, you'd be done ball this up and hit them with a haymaker.
Yeah.
Instead of what the word says, God spelled it out in his word. He allowed the Holy Spirit to spell it out. And regardless of whatever else you put on, wear love.
Amen.
Wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. It's your whole entire garment covered in love, saturated in love, an unforgivable love, an unconditional love that you forgive all the time. No matter what, you forgive. No matter whatever the condition is. And you notice it says never be without this love. As a Christian, are you without that love? I know Brother Freddie, you don't come with one of them haymaker Thor and beat up message today, but that's all right. That's what God laid on my heart.
That's right.
In closing, how far does your love really extend or go? Even after the Word of God has spelled it out for us, the one thing in the New Testament that most describes God's inherent nature is God is love.
Yes.
Do you as a believer have this love working in your life? That's why that song is so important. Change my heart, Lord. Make me like you. Change my heart, Lord. And the thing is, you can't be the potter. You can only be the clay. And if you notice something, when Brother David was talking about the potter making the clay, I mean making a pot, it's only when the pot starts to whistle that it's been perfected, that it's ready, that it's done. Well, you know what my prayer is? That each and every one of us, that the love of God will whistle in our life.
Amen.
And that when we approach our fellow man, when we see our fellow man, you know what? They'll know that we've been in the presence of the Lord. You remember when Moses came down off the mountain and the glory of God was upon Moses, that the people couldn't even look at his face, that they had to put a veil over it. Well, why can't we as believers have a love flowing out of the inside of us, that when our fellow man meets us or greets us, that we will show the love of God as never before? And you know what? They'll say that we'll know that they're believers by their love.
Amen.
Not by swearing I'm a Christian,
yes,
and then can't stand you, but showing love. God bless you. I love you. And my prayer is that the love of God will flow out of the inside of you, and it will touch somebody else, and it will cause them to give their life to the Lord. Let your love that's in you become the praise of God. See, you can hold your hand up, you can holler hallelujah, thank you Jesus for all you want to. But it's until that praise that flows out of you that God has placed in your heart,
amen,
it'll touch somebody else and cause them to change. God bless you. I love you.
Amen.